When we have a true word from God, we must believe it, speak it, and act on it without hesitating, wavering, or doubting. The problem is a lot of people don't know how to get that peace I was talking about a while ago. And I call it peace, revelation, word from God, no so. But a lot of people just say a peace. I prayed through that peace and assurance. But sometimes it's more than that because you need a word like raise $40,000 to fix up the building. So a lot of times it is a revelation of what God wants you to do or how God wants it done. Somebody say amen. So we replace thoughts contrary to our faith with the word. When the Lord tells me you're not going to get the 40 this year, you're not going to get the 80, I said, well, I know the Lord promised us 40. I know we're getting 40. Can you say amen? So this is the beginning of mature faith, getting a clear word from God, believing it, acting on it. You say, well, I'm having a hard time getting a clear word from God. Well, what you got to do, what I have to do, I don't think God treats you differently, than me. I have to get in the Word of God, pray over it until I get a word. If it takes an hour or two, I got to stick with it until I break through. Well, why is God hard of hearing? No, but the devil is trying to kill your faith and tell you it's not going to happen, and you have to pray through and get in the Word of God to build your faith, to believe God you're going to defeat the devil. Amen. Amen. You see, this is the beginning of mature faith. Getting a clear word from God and then believing it and acting on it. God, I know God gave me and the board and many of you the word, raise $40,000 a year, but that wasn't good enough. We had to step out here and do it. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 1, verse 5, a certain priest named Zacharias, he was serving as priest before God. Verse 9, he burned incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, verse 11, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him. I mean, like it if an angel appeared to you. Yeah. If one did, would you believe that angel? Would you? Yeah. Well, he didn't. He got himself in trouble. Verse 13, the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth, who has been barren and was unable to have children, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. That was a clear word from God. Did he believe it? Listen. Verse 16, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord, their God, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. So this is a promise about the birth of John the Baptist. This angel says, your wife is going to be give birth to one of the greatest men of God who has ever lived. Verse 18, and Zacharias said to the angel, you have to be very careful what you say. Can you say amen? You don't express doubt. How shall I know this? For I am an old man. And by the way, a lot of us use age to believe that we can't get healed. I'm just too old. Can you say amen? And I can't really be blessed. I'm past the age of being blessed. Abraham, Bible says he didn't leave his home to follow the Lord until he's 75. And it says he was rich and very rich because made him very rich. Moses, 120 years old when he died, his eye was not dim, his natural forces abated. I'm going to keep believing God until I cross over into heaven. How about you? Amen. Yeah. Amen. So he's using age here as a reason not to believe God. How shall I know this? I'm just an old man. How am I going to be able to help my wife have a baby? And the angel didn't like his response. How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. And besides that, she's been barren her whole life. Zacharias heard from God, but he did not believe the word he received. You've got to believe it. If the Lord speaks to you that he's healing you or healing someone you're praying for, you get that peace in you that's done, don't let the devil come back with a bad report. Amen. And kill your faith. Zabrino has, well, I saw her health and well, but I'm telling you right now, we've had battles over the last 40 some odd years. I found out you got to keep rebuking the devil off. I felt like spoke to me. He said, well, you have a word for Sabrina, but you got to keep biting that devil off of her because he keeps coming back. And if it's not the same thing, he's trying to bring something new on her. You have to take authority over him. Amen. Zacharias heard from God, but he did not believe the word that he received from the angel. And the angel answered and said to him, I'm Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, verse 20, but behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place because you did not believe my words. A lot of times there's a price to be paid for not believing the word of God, especially when he speaks it to your heart. A truly mature believer, and that's the title of this message today, a mature faith. Becoming a New Testament believer, you have to grow in your faith and become mature in your faith so you believe God for anything and everything every time. But you got to hear from him through the word or through his revelation. A truly mature believer must recognize and believe the word of the Lord. God takes this believing thing very seriously. It's not a joke. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and listen, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's a big part of my faith. I believe he rewards me and you when we diligently seek him. That is a real key to faith. That you believe he rewards those who seek him. We must believe the word we hear, even though it is totally impossible. God gives us the word so we will have faith to act. Over the years, I've learned to recognize and act on the word of God. And sometimes it's a real struggle. The devil throws me curveballs, you know. And then when I really hear from God, he brings in some of the most unbelievable mountains and giants. And you think, man, I'm not going to make it this time. But sometimes you got to rebuke your own self. Don't say that. Say what you've heard. And when I'm attacked with a sickness or a pain, I say, with his stripes, I'm healed. I don't run around calling everybody, oh, I got this pain, got that pain, I think I'm going to die. You won't hear me talk like that. Amen. Why? Because I've talked like that a time or two, and it got me in big trouble. Zacharias got himself in big trouble here. Amen. If God didn't let him get away with it, he's not going to let Barry Coverson get away with it. If nobody else in the church believes God for $40,000, I got to believe it. Yes, amen. Acts chapter 11, verse 7. But I heard a voice saying to me, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, not so. Now he is telling the disciples, the apostles back in Jerusalem, what happened when he went to Cornelius' house. They're upset because he went visited a bunch of Gentiles. Acts chapter 11, verse 7, and I heard a voice saying to me, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever at any time entered my mouth. You see, we think of Peter as being a rebel, but he was an obedient man of faith. He really made an all-out effort to obey the commandments, and God honored him. Verse 9, but the voice answered again from heaven, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. He's referring to the Gentiles. God is about to bring us Gentiles into the church. And a lot of times we don't get that. But this is how God convinced Peter and the disciples, the apostles, that God had was bringing the Gentiles into the church. Verse 11, at that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. Verse 12, then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Now, why am I reading this? Because you remember when Peter was walking on the water? He didn't get out of that boat and just walk on the water. He did what I'm telling you you must do, and that's you get a word from God. He says, Lord, if that's you out there walking on the water, bid me come to you. He didn't just hop out of the boat. He prayed, so to speak, to Jesus, and he said, come. When he said, come, he got out of the boat, started walking on the water. Everything looked so good. Then he got focused on the circumstances. He got so focused on the symptoms. Well, the pain is still there. Well, so what? The devil's trying to keep that pain there as long as he can, so you'll give up. Your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may make sick, kill, destroy. And you have to take a stand. I'm believing God. And you say, amen.
Amen.
When the Holy Spirit tells you to go, you go. And so he went. But then he started looking at the wind and the waves. I can just see lightning coming down over close to him. And he says, oh, I'm on water. And then the wind blows some water in his face. And he starts doubting, starts sinking, but Peter has learned his lesson. This time, when the Lord said, go, he went, doubting nothing. And wonder why the Lord said that, doubting nothing, because once before he sank because he doubted. Y'all pay attention? God sent me here today to tell me in front of you how to stand in faith. And believe me, it's talking to me. When the Holy Spirit, you say, well, you've just demonstrated a lot of faith. Yeah, but faith kind of leaks out. You got to keep building it back.
Amen.
And you sitting there letting me preach this is building my faith. Can you say amen?
Amen?
When the Holy Spirit tells you to go, go doubting nothing.
Amen.
You just got to have it in here that it's God. Peter's faith had grown. He had learned to believe his personal word and not doubt. When Peter opened the door, there stood Gentiles. Legally, he could not go with them according to Jewish law. So how could he have faith and go? How could he do that? Peter had a clear word that no one else had at the time, but he recognized it to be the voice of God, and so he believed that word and went based on the word, based on what the Lord had spoken to him. Dot and I came to Knoxville because God spoke it to us. We didn't just start loading a U-Haul. We prayed and sought God for 3 months until it got in our spirit and we knew it was God. Then we loaded the U-Haul.
Amen.
You see, Peter had learned not to sink. Have you learned how not to sink?
Amen.
Watch what you say. Because you're in the human way, your brain is listening to everything your mouth says, and it programs your whole body to give you what you say. That's medical science. Doctors would tell you if you have a real negative attitude, your chances of recovery are not very good. You have to believe. Can you say amen and speak positive things? And you don't get more positive than the word of God. With his stripes I'm healed. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes me to win. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
You see, this word gave Peter courage. So he went and God saved those Gentiles and filled them with the Holy Spirit. And here we sit today in church worshiping God because Peter believed God. God called me to preach at 12. I thought it was just me thinking. But when I rededicated my life to the Lord at 15, all of a sudden I knew I was called to preach. And I said, how do I know this? Because I knew it. And then I remembered, laying in bed at 12 years old, I heard this voice say to me, I thought it was just me thinking. 12 years old, I mean, you don't understand these things, or at least I didn't. And the Lord said, Would you be a preacher? And I says, that'd be awful. He says, but if God wanted you to be a preacher, would you do it? So I can't think of anything worse than that. Really? And I heard his voice a third time, kind of like Peter. He said, but if God really, really, really wanted you to be a preacher, would you do it? Ladies and gentlemen, I could have said no. Now, how many people have thrown their lives away because they said no? You've got to learn to recognize that voice and say yes. I didn't even know what it was, but I love God. I want to serve God. So I said, yes, I'd do it. Amen.
Amen.
And the voice went away. And at 15, when I rededicated my life to the Lord, there was something in here. I just knew I was supposed to be a preacher. And I had other big plans. But I just knew it. So how do I know that? And I remembered the Lord spoke to me when I was 12 years old.
Amen.
And I want you to know that thing is still there.
Yes.
It's still there. And that's why I keep coming out here. And I believe I got the word for today. Can you say amen?
Amen?
And so I never doubt the call. And I don't think one time I've ever doubted it. There's been times I've wanted to do something else, but I know I'm called. I have believed it and acted on it just about my whole life since I was 15 years old. We must all learn to recognize God's voice and act in faith on that word if we want to be successful at anything.
Amen.
We are not going to receive anything unless we get a word from God and believe it. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive it and you'll get it. Who said that? Jesus said that. In James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Faith, all faith works that same way. No matter what you're praying for, you have to believe that you receive it. Now look at this. But let him ask in faith. No matter what you're praying for, let him ask in faith, doubting nothing wavering, which means nothing doubting nothing, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth, he that doubts is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Now listen, you just can't make up something. So I'm going to believe God for a brand new Cadillac. I'm going to believe God for a brand new Mercedes. I'm going to believe God for a brand new whatever. I'm going to believe God for a jet. that don't get it. You have to be like Peter. Lord, if that's you, bid me come. Can you say amen? And Lord, give me a word. Speak to me and talk to me. That is faith. It's a notion of revelation. Listen, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When you get that in you, that's when you got to watch what you say.
Amen.
Don't speak against that.
Amen.
Because the devil will come to do everything he can, put doubt and unbelief on you, and try to do everything he can to get you to say contrary, something contrary to that revelation that you have. Verse 7, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything. Well, it doesn't matter if I believe God or not. That says it matters. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. When you get that revelation and you start speaking negative things, then you're getting yourself in real trouble. Amen. Just like Zacharias. God didn't let that slide.
Amen.
We're not going to receive the promise if we waver, which means doubt. Pistis, faith, means faith in the Greek. It means a moral conviction. It's more than just something up here. Faith is a conviction, and you know that it's God. You know, it's a no-so assurance. I've heard God often say to me, I've got this. Don't you worry about it. I've got it.
Amen.
Then I got to let him have it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And or an evidence. I have an evidence, as I said, I'm called to preach. And I've never doubted it one time because it's so real. Faith comes from his spirit, from God's spirit bearing witness with our spirit. Now here's the key. When I'm praying and God is speaking to me, his spirit touches my spirit and it's a no-so.
Amen.
Can you say amen? When his spirit touches your spirit. Now, people say, well, you can't go by feelings. And you can't. I'm not talking about physical feelings with your fingertips. I'm talking about when his spirit touches your spirit, it's beyond a feeling. It's a no-so. You get that? It's not just a feeling. It is a no-so that God called me to start that business. Is that right, Milton? That God called me to do what I'm doing. Is that right, Michael? You see, you hear from God, and God spoke to him, and he said, the money's under the house. If it had been me, I'd be under the house with a shovel, digging like crazy. But he figured out what it meant. He was supposed to take care of people's crawl spaces, and God has turned it into a very successful business. You hear from God, but then you got to pray until he shows you how to do it and gives you the wisdom to do it and the anointing to carry it out and the power to carry it out. Can you say amen? You can never quit praying.
Amen.
You have to stay true to the word of God. Diatrino, the Greek word for doubt, means wavering, hesitating, questioning the word of God. You hear from God, don't you question it. What was Zechariah doing? He was questioning the angel. Don't you know I'm too old? And the angel, he got quite upset with him. Doubt is our enemy. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Dipsuchos means double-minded. It means vacillating, two-spirited. Can you say amen? And a lot of times we just vacillate up and down and all around. Got to stop that if you hear from God. Or thinking two different things at the same time. You can't think I'm healed and sick at the same time. You got to decide what you're going to believe. I've decided to live safely and just quote the word of God. With his stripes, I'm healed. Can you say amen? Choose to believe God's word, especially when he speaks to you and he quickens his scripture to your heart. And I'm believing God today. He's quickening some of these scriptures to your heart, so it will give you a no-so faith that nothing can make you doubt. Focus on your word like radar. It's kind of like radar. When a missile by radar gets focused on a target, that thing doesn't go to the left, to the right, up or down. It goes straight to the target. And our faith has to go straight to the word of God and stay focused on the word of God. And somebody said, amen. Am I telling them right, Linda? Yes. Like radar, you just focus on that word. And whatever the devil's saying, you just brush it off. Stay focused. Tell him to get out in the name of Jesus. You see, this is what it means to be a New Testament believer. That's the way they believed God. They focused on his word. Now, we cannot believe the word and doubt it at the same time. Now, this is a story I may have told one time, but it happened in 2014. We're having vacation Bible school, and we got word on Friday night that we had no buses. And the vacation Bible school started on Monday. We didn't have one bus, one driver, and we needed 19 buses and 19 drivers. It was not our fault. I mean, no, it's never my fault. It was not our fault. It was a mix-up between the person organizing the buses and the bus owners. You get that many buses, most of them had to have two or three bus owners to have that many buses because they didn't own 19 buses. I prayed, and God gave me an inner peace of assurance that God was going to fix this. Friday night, vacation Bible school starts Monday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I had an assurance from God, and I would not doubt it. I knew that God had told me to have the vacation Bible school just as real as I knew that God had told us this time to raise this $40,000 fundraiser every month. I knew that God had told me to do these vacation Bible schools. We started off first year with 30, and over 25, 30 years, it grew to 2,000. We started busing kids in from all over the city, and we got people here right now that came in partly through that bus ministry. Can you say amen? Vacation Bible school. No vacillating. You got to believe it. You don't have got 3 days. You don't have time to doubt. I had to go. See, you got to be mature in your faith so that things like that don't throw you upside down. I had to go straight ahead as if I had buses. We did not tell anyone. To tell anyone we didn't have buses would have been expressing doubt. Because I had buses by faith. Anybody paying attention? Now, if you want to go to this kind of faith, you got to spend time in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, meditating on his word. If there's been a shortcut, I would have found it by now. I live off of shortcuts. I love shortcuts. But there is no shortcut to faith. We went ahead with the Saturday morning planning meeting. We got all the teachers and bus workers trained and ready to go, knowing we had no buses. But they didn't. They were all ready to go. We had an enrollment of about, I think, over 2,000 kids and adults that's going to be a part of that, and we had no buses. Everybody's trained and ready to go by Saturday noon. We got a name of a new bus owner. God just worked a miracle. We had never used him before. We met him Saturday evening, and if I remember correctly, he didn't have 19 buses either. He had to line up other companies, and he had to line up 19 drivers on Sunday to run on Monday. Anybody here got faith? Can you believe God to see you through a nightmare like that? A lot of pastors would just canceled it. They would have said, well, we just can't do this. Well, you got to make up your mind. Are you a man of God or not? Amen. Did God tell you to do it or not? If he told me to do it, not having buses is not a problem. Amen. He will provide the buses. And I don't mean to sound like some hero. I mean, I go up and down and I vacillate all up and down. But sooner or later, you got to land with both feet on your promise and stay there. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. This man lined up 19 buses and drivers in one day on Sunday. We met with him Saturday about 5 or 6 o'clock. And he agreed to do it. He says, I feel compelled of God to do it. And I feel like if I don't do it, God won't bless me. So God was working on him. Amen. Well, I'm just afraid to bring it up. Well, God, if it's God, he's already working on them. Amen. Amen. Do I have to do all the preaching and the amening? Come on. And I know the devil's probably telling somebody, this is a bunch of bahooey. Well, you believe anything you want to believe, but it works for me. And it works for better by in his church as well. But everybody in this church has some kind of miracle testimony. You can miss out if you want to. That's your business. Amen. Amen. By Monday, they were ready to go. And we had one of the biggest, best vacation Bible schools we ever had. Amen. And no one ever knew that we didn't have buses except me and one other person. Because in reality, we had them.
Amen.
In the spirit realm, reality. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. You see, when God gives us a no-so, an assurance, a revelation, whatever you want to call it, nothing is impossible if we'll believe it, like Abraham. Abraham believed for Isaac 25 years. And sometimes I don't even believe God for 25 seconds. But you got to get the word in you and believe it as long as it takes. Let's all